kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I'm your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. How are you doing?
I didn't die in the last couple days since the last recording, so I guess I'm doing all right.
Me neither. High five.
Yeah. Low bars. Low bars. That's why we let Jacob be here.
Yeah.
I was just expecting to not get announced and eventually just, hey, guys. I have something to say about the Sonic movie.
Oh, my God. I haven't seen it yet. No spoilers.
Oh, we're spoiling the shit out of it.
I think we might take the girls this weekend to go see
There's a hedgehog in it.
What? You bastard. You ruined it for everybody. I just thought I can't do this anymore.
His name is Sonic.
I can't go slam a door like Norg. I need to borrow Norg to come slam a door for me.
Wait,
if I do that, I'm going to wake a kid up. Everybody's
so, like, when we discuss the movie, are you just, like, going to hop off or...
I guess, just take my headphones off and be like, fuck you guys, until somebody...
like, text you. Guys, you.
Just, I'll take my headphones off and I'll just be sitting over here like... Mm-hmm.
Joe, I've got a great idea. Let's discuss the movie right now and then never tell her when we're done.
Oh my God, that would be awful.
3 days later. Joe, are we still recording yet?
I don't want to talk to you for 3 days. Fuck that.
No, oh my God.
Destructor Sonic dies at the end.
No, I know that that's not true. Because
do you know it's not true?
Yeah, because they've spent all that money to redesign him, so they're hoping to get at least 3 movies out of him.
I mean, I think they were hoping to get 3 movies out of him anyway.
Well, they are definitely looking to get 3 after they did that redesign. They weren't going to do that if they didn't think they were franchising that shit.
Wait, are we discussing the movie now, or are we discussing other shit first?
Do we talk about things on this show?
Shit. I guess we're talking about the movie, at least a little bit.
Oh, okay.
You can't talk about the whole thing, Jacob. You have to save that for the Patreon review.
Right, because, you know, there's just so much great content on the SML Podcast Patreon page.
If you
send Joe $1 a month, you can help his fat ass get more soda and more video games.
More weed.
If you give him $5, Joe can go on a Sheetz run. Think about that $5.
Sheetz.
But it's Sheetz. Wait, didn't we have this discussion? You told me once before and I forgot because I'm high.
Sheets, because you're high. Sheets is a local gas station chain that has ready-to-order food.
It's a regional one. I wouldn't say
it's local. Regional, not local. Regional.
Okay.
But if you're familiar with Wawa.
No.
No? Fuck.
All right, so what do you guys have for convenience stores around you?
Do you really want to hear this story?
You have to go 5 miles out of town to go to the nearest convenience store.
How many things 5 miles is that? It's 5 miles to town.
And okay.
Then, that's just to, like,
uphill,
the town
both
that has
ways.
A population of 42. You do have to go uphill to get out of Mahalar, as a matter of fact. That just gets you to the town with a population of 42. If you want to go to an actual town, that's 15 miles. It'll take you about an hour and a half because most of the roads you can only go about 35 on.
Okay.
Some of it you can only go 15. And that's where, like, we've got everything. That's where Walmart and Food City and Lowe's and shit like that's at. Tractor Supply. But now, if you go 5 miles into town, it's like 4 and some change. It's not a full 5. But that's where you have the little store that is the center point of our town, right?
Okay.
And this store is, first off, it's a gas station. Okay.
Okay.
And then it's a grocery store. And they also have appliances and horse tack and hardware and cattle needs and like,
so it's a general store.
Literally, well, around here we call them sundry stores.
Ye old general store.
Yeah. Like, it's a convenient, but you can, like, if you go to the back of the store, to the left of a horse tack is a kitchen, and you can order pizza and hamburgers and subs, and, but then, like, to the left of that is, like, you can buy old, like the old timey, like wood burning cook stoves.
Jesus.
Huh. But then to the left of that is a door that takes you outside to where you can go get straw. Dog food.
All next right. to that is Best Buy.
No, we don't have a Best Buy. Like, even
you have to go like 3 hours out.
No, Dollar General.
I was about to say, they tried to open a Dollar General here, but the deal fell through.
Really?
Holy yeah. shit. Like, yes. You guys are so, like, out there that Dollar General won't even touch you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ashley thinks Dollar General is a front for drug money.
Basically.
Because they open in the middle of nowhere.
We made a joke, too. Like, there's a couple other areas. Like, there's a lot of these little no man's land kind of towns where I'm at. And, you know, there's another one that's between here and my sister's place, called Hitchens, and they have one of their own little convenience stores like ours. So this is a mom and pop shop, but across the road from that they opened a Dollar General, and I was like, the motherfuck that Hitchens can get a Dollar General and Blaine can't. What did we do?
Well, you don't even have like 50 people living in your town. I mean, if they came into your town, they would automatically be employing everybody.
You're not wrong. But to be fair, when I say that, like, you know, there's even a population. Even your
children would get jobs.
That's put their asses when I to say work. That,
that, yeah, get your ass out there. Pay my bills. When I say that, like, there's a population of, I think it's 40, 45 now, maybe. It was 42 in number.
Somebody yeah. got busy.
Well, when number, that's the thing. Like, you've never heard the story about number 3 in Wikipedia? Our population on Wikipedia said 41 until the day after I gave birth to number 3, and then somebody changed it to 42.
That's amazing.
It was hilarious. And I was like, I didn't change it. Who the fuck knew I had a kid?
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was literally the next day, and like I wasn't even home from the hospital with her yet.
Hey, Destructor 92,000 just followed us on Twitch, so thank you for the follow.
Sorry.
Hooray.
But yeah, it's an insane like little area. But even though it's fifty people in this little area here, the actual town itself is like an insane amount of square footage because everybody just owns a shit ton of land that's worthless, but we own it. And so even though there's not a lot of people, we're all super spread out. And like if you include the whole area of like all the outlying land, then it's something like 200 people. So it's slightly larger. It's just that they can only count who's incorporated within the city limits. And you have to be, I think it's like 5 miles of the city limits. And some of us are as much as 10, 12 miles out.
Out in the boonies.
Literally out in the motherfucking boonies. Like we don't even have asphalt on our roads. Dirt roads. Yeah. It's nuts out here. I like good it. Stuff. I just hate all the people. All the people are fucking awful. But the countryside is gorgeous.
People are awful.
Yeah. Indeed.
Oh, man. So, we should probably talk about some game news, huh?
Yeah, I guess. Sonic?
Yeah, Sonic? Maybe. Yeah.
Sonic, I mean, Sonic.
Gotta go fast.
Talk about Sonic? I was a little surprised because, like, I thought we were going to do like a roundtable discussion because I know Chris has seen it too.
What am I not good enough, Jacob?
Well, no, you've never been cool enough, but you know
that's why you get rice on.
Yeah, that's why I throw rice at you.
Terrible. I thought we were friends. I thought we could cooperate. You can't cooperate over Christmas. You can't cooperate on the podcast. I'm done.
It's bullshit. My head hurts. Get Norg to slam a door again.
Yeah.
Well, with Cole gone, it looks like... Now that Cole's gone, it looks like I'll have to pull triple duty, you know, reviewing games, doing the social media, and I'll have to bring the sex appeal to this podcast.
Yeah, because this voice is just really what keeps people around.
Hey, I'm just saying, you know, it's late at night. I'm doing the tweets. I'm not going to tell you what I'm listening to naked.
Jesus Christ. That's a visual I did not need tonight.
Tell me how that point-and-click adventure goes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Visual novel. Fuck yeah.
I'm taking my headphones off now. Bye, guys.
Does that mean we're talking Sonic?
Talking Sonic. Or wait, is Cole actually leaving?
I don't know.
No, I'm just...
Oh, damn it. She faked us out.
I don't know what we're doing. Are we talking about Sonic or are we talking about game news?
Am I the high one?
I feel like we should probably at least discuss Sonic first. Like, you know, we could speak in generalities whether we liked it or not.
Yeah, no spoilers. We won't go into any spoiler territory because it's still a new movie. We don't want to give too much away. I loved all the references they made to the games. And how they implemented rings into the storyline. I thought that was pretty cool.
I was a little surprised with that. And it definitely works. It was surprisingly well adapted, which we usually don't get because either it's so far off the beaten path, like the Resident Evil series or, Street Fighter.
DOA.
All right. Hey. DOA is a great film.
DOA is amazing.
It's an amazing film, and it is a crime that it didn't do better in the box office, and we never got the planned trilogy.
trilogy of that shit. Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. It was originally planned as a trilogy, and then they were like, God. Well, if it does well enough, and then, like, Weinstein Company was just like, yeah, no, we're not going to release this. Because the movie theater, when I was living in Ephrata, it actually had a poster out for it in the lobby, you know, is like coming soon. And I was just like, oh, shit, yeah, I'm going to go see that. And then it's like half a year later and it's on DVD at Walmart. And I'm like, oh, dang. But yeah. All right. So Sonic, one of the things I loved about it is that they even made jokes about meme culture in there. Did you catch the Sonic reference?
Yes, Crazy Carl.
Yes, I was so pleased with that. That, like, they even, like, dug into that. I mean, because it's just, like, it's got music cues, it's got sound cues, like, little references here and there to the Sonic series as a whole. And then they even reference Sonic, and I'm just like, ah.
Fucking Sonic.
God bless you all. And I was the only person in the whole theater who laughed at that drawing when they held it up. Because I mean, the rest of the theater is, you know, like five-year-old kids, including mine, and the parents that brought them and, you know, wish that they could be doing other things.
I saw it at our local theater. It was for a Wednesday. It was pretty... There was a good, decent amount of people there for a Wednesday evening at a small town local theater.
Yeah, I think, my theater was about 2/3 full. And I think, honestly, like, word of mouth has really helped with this film. Because I think everyone was expecting it to be a complete shit show. And
it's
then,
not. It's actually really solid. It's really funny. It's got some heartwarming moments in there. It's an overall really, really solid video game movie. They did a really good job, and Jim Carrey fucking nailed it.
Yeah, I'd say it's pretty good. My only thing is that it's like it's pretty well done. At the same time, I felt like it was kind of forgettable. Because it's just like I walked out of there, and it's like I could tell you not a whole lot about it. Like I enjoyed what I watched. I don't know. It kind of reminded me of like Talladega Nights, where it's just like you're in the theater, you're enjoying it, you're laughing at it, and then you walk out of there and it's like, I barely remember anything about that film.
Huh. But I had fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, honestly, like James Marsden's character, I don't even remember the name of the human cop. Like, I don't.
Me neither.
See, this is what I'll tell you about. You only remember
two characters. It's just James Marsden.
Yeah, you remember two characters' names, Sonic and Robotnik. That's it. Everyone else can go fuck off.
Fair.
But yeah.
Donut Lord, that's his name.
Donut Lord. yeah, my son thought that was the best joke in the film. And honestly, I was going to kill him because our theater has like little recliners. You know, I mean, all the seats are recliners in the theaters. And he's like, oh, what does this butt do? Oh, it hurts. And I'm just like,
no.
Like halfway through the film, I was just like, you touch it again, we're leaving. Like, I swear to God, kid. And then, like, somebody, like, five rows back was like, and he's like, it wasn't me! It's like, I know. That was me.
Oh, Jesus.
And, of course, like, and the thing is that, like, as much as I threaten him, my wife is just like, you know, I would have taken him out of the theater right then. And I'm like, yeah, but I kind of want to see the film. So, like, what am I going to do? I can't, like, just kick him out into the lobby by himself for, like, an hour and a half.
Why not?
Because it's...
Just leave him in the car. Crack a window. Cole, you have experience with that, right?
I'm going to say yes, even though I have my headphones half off and can only hear part of what you're talking about, so it's not spoiled myself.
So you're trying not to soil yourself.
Oil? Do you have duck poop in your ears? Are you okay, Jacob?
Duck poop in my ears.
It does seem that way, yes.
All right. Well, I guess those medicines are really kicking in for you, Cole, aren't they?
they've been kicked in. This is date two.
Oh, jeez.
Back to not listening.
Back to not listening.
Yeah. I don't like, there isn't really much else to discuss about it. I mean, I think it would be neat if they, on the DVD or the whatever, when they eventually release it, if they did like a little showing of like, here's extra footage of when Sonic had the original look, I would just be interested to see how it, like, you know, how complete scenes looked at the time.
Yeah.
Now, from what I also understand, we're probably going to be getting a lot of deleted scenes. Hopefully Paramount's gonna like nut up and release them, because I've heard early test showings had a completely different beginning. However, I've heard, like, and this is in one of the digital movie groups, the guy had been to an early test showing and then he got to see it this weekend. He was just like, the cut that's released in the theaters is a much better film than what was originally shown to us. And he said it's a much leaner story-wise. It flows better.
It was originally 3.5 hours.
It's actually an opera. but like, Sonic. apparently, the original opening was this like huge long thing that kind of went more into an origin, even more so than what we got. And he was just like, by the time that the movie actually got going, you didn't care. Mm-hmm. Like, so we may get an alternate opening, who knows, on the DVD. And the only other thing to really discuss, I think, is, stick around for a mid-credits scene.
Yeah. Was there anything at the very end? Because I didn't stick around until the very end.
No, okay. There's only a mid-credits scene. I mean, this isn't really a spoiler by any means. The Mushroom World, do you remember that from Sonic? I mean, like, somebody had mentioned it briefly looked like one of the worlds in the early Sonic games, but I took it more as a jab at Nintendo.
That's what I kind of thought, too. I thought they were referring to a Mushroom Kingdom, but I don't know.
That's what I thought too, because they like Sonic makes it clear it's smelly, it's boring, it's like, you know, he definitely doesn't want to go there.
Seems like an old school playful jab at
Nintendo. That's what I thought as well. So okay, just double checking on that. So I guess we could bring back Cole now.
Yeah,
Do you have anything else to say about the movie?
No, I just think if you're on the fence about going to check out Sonic, I'd say go for it. It was an enjoyable time. I had fun with it, and I'll probably pick up the Blu-ray or the 4K when it comes out because I thought it was neat, and if there's extra deleted scenes, I'm curious to see what else was in there.
Yeah, and I'm going to bet that we're getting a sequel.
Probably.
Because I've heard it's cost, I think, do you remember how much they said it was?
No.
Okay.
You're the movie buff. You remember that shit.
Let me see if I could find the number real quick.
While you're looking that up, a quick shout out to No Time for Games, who gave us a 23-month sub, 23 in a row. Thank you. I don't know how I could thank you enough for your continued support, but keep kicking ass and go see the Sonic movie. So what did it cost?
It cost $85 million. Currently, it's pulled in almost $78 million just in America alone.
Not bad.
Worldwide total right now is sitting at $128 million.
Nice.
So we're getting a sequel.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that.
All right, Cole, you could come back in if you're paying attention. Right, Cole? Right?
What? Who's Cole?
Yeah, exactly. You ready for some Vigigame news?
Yeah, sure.
Because there is a chunk of video game news that we got discussed this week. A couple more games are going to be leaving Game Pass soon, which is always sad news, so you're going to have to jump on these quick. But Batman Return to Arkham, Just Cause 4, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Snake Pass, Fallout 3, and The Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion are all leaving Game Pass probably by the end of the month, so don't dilly-dally and play them while you can, and take advantage of the discount to pick them up if you enjoyed them. Oh, Carnage said Rise of the Tomb Raider. I thought Shadow of the Tomb Raider already left.
So you're saying if I was to start up a game of Oblivion, now is not the time.
No, not at all.
Oh, damn it. Do you think I could get it done by the end of the month?
You have 9 days.
Yes. Rootbeer is My Jam also just gave us a subscription. That is their 10th month subbing to us. Thank you, Rootbeer. You are awesome. Keep kicking ass and go see the Sonic movie.
Rootbeer is.
Why do you keep saying go see the Sonic movie? We're not getting paid for this.
I don't know. Because it's funny to say. It's not all bad news about Game Pass, though, because there's a lot of shit coming to Game Pass.
Uh huh.
Thank you for your confirmation, Cole. Uh huh.
Thanks, Cole. You're the best.
Uh-huh.
This week we got Ninja Gaiden 2, which is a cool addition. Good game.
Okay.
Next week, though, holy shit, next week, February 25th, we are getting Kingdom Hearts 3, Two Point Hospital, which is releasing direct to Game Pass, and Wasteland Remastered, which is launching direct to Game Pass.
Wait, they're putting Kingdom Hearts 3 in Game Pass?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
Well, the remasters just got released.
Yeah, we'll talk about I have that written down. We'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Oh, well, damn it, Joe. I actually know things for once.
Yeah, Yakuza 0, too. You missed Yakuza 0.
No, I didn't, because that's February 26th. I didn't get to the 26th yet.
Well,
God, Cole.
God damn it.
Why do you have these all separated? Why not just be like, this is all the shit that's coming?
Because I have them organized by dates.
That's so professional of you. That is not this show.
I try being organized.
It's
God
garbage.
Damn it.
Don't do it.
But yeah, February 26th, Yakuza 0 launching direct to Game Pass. It is exciting to see the Yakuza series finally hit Xbox. And I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, my wife will be too. She's a big Yakuza fan for some reason.
Nice.
I don't know why either. I think it's just she doesn't like the violence of GTA. However, she likes the ridiculousness of Yakuza.
Hmm.
You know, you get to hang out, you sing karaoke, you adopt orphans.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good time.
Cole, are you excited about Yakuza?
No.
Why?
I just have no attachment to those games. I don't know anything about them.
You're not excited to check it out?
No. I'm just like, okay, that's a thing.
What if we get it for review?
Well, I mean,
if ooh, we get it for ooh, review, if we get it for review, I call it.
But I'm a co-host. I get first dibs, so you get fucked.
Cole, why would you do me dirty like that? If I got the review code, then I could be like, honey, I love you so much. I got you Yakuza Zero. She'd be like, oh, Jacob, you're so sweet.
No, she'd be like, bitch, we didn't have the money for that. What are you going by that for?
Damn it, she would.
I love how I've been doing reviews for like 3-4 years now, and as soon as the game pops up on my console, my husband's like, how'd you afford that? What do you think I do all day?
I'm hooking on the corner. That's how I afford it.
They don't even got corners in this fucking town. I'm out here in the dirt with my pant leg hiked up because I don't wear a skirt.
Your pant leg hiked up. Did you shoot somebody?
I mean, that's also entirely possible.
It is a teardrop tattoo. And a grill. She has a gold grill. But February 27th, we're also getting Jackbox Party Pack 3.
That's nice.
Yeah.
On Game Pass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. Party Pack 2 just left.
Yeah.
So we're getting Party Pack 3 now. And then some breaking news. Just about an hour before we went live, Jackbox Games announced that they are releasing Jackbox Party Pack 7 this fall.
That's fast.
Yeah.
I'm not mad about it. I did say that. Were you not paying attention?
I did. That's why I said that. That's what she
said. Just being redundant. That's not a good use of our podcast time.
If we were going to make good use of our podcast time, we wouldn't be doing this podcast.
Look. Normally, I would say honesty is best policy, but I like my free games. So, shut your whore mouth.
I do, too, so I guess we better keep doing the podcast. Damn it.
Shut your whore mouth, and let's keep doing it. As you mentioned, the Kingdom Hearts series is finally playable on the Xbox One as Kingdom Hearts 1.5 and 2.5 Remix and Kingdom Hearts 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue finally released this week. Good news for everybody, except for the fact that Square is charging full price for them, despite being much cheaper on the PS4. 1.5 and 2.5 is $49.99 for the both of them, which I don't think is bad. I picked that one up. And then
it's expensive.
But you're getting 6 games with that one, so I don't see a huge problem with $50 for 1.5 and 2.5 Remix.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good deal.
I think that one's solid. And then 2.8 Final Chapter is $59.99, which I think is nuts. Meanwhile, on the PS4, you can currently get both of those and Kingdom Hearts 3 for
$99.99.
Ugh. Yeah, so come on, Square. Plus, later on in March, they're releasing a retail bundle for the PS4 with all 3 of the games for $50.
Wait. Yeah, you know what? I think I'm just going to wait for them to do that for the Xbox, then.
I don't think they're going to, because they have no plans to release physical on Xbox.
Damn it.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, well, Square pricing sucks.
I'm just going to wait for a sale, then. Whatever. I mean, that's usually what I say about everything, but...
Yeah, because you're a broke-ass bitch.
I am, but at the same time, I mean, I'm probably going to be getting the Bayonetta Vanquish set this weekend, but I was thinking about the one Kingdom Hearts that's got like the 6 games, but honestly, like, after you just said that, like, how much the other one costs, I'm just like, yeah, screw this, I'm just gonna wait till they're half off.
I honestly think 1.5 and 2.5 Remix is worth it, because you're getting Kingdom Hearts 1 and Kingdom Hearts 2, which are the important ones.
I wonder if they're hoping that people we'll be like, oh, Kingdom Hearts 3 is on Game Pass, but I can't play that until I play 1 and 2.
Probably.
So I might as well go throw $100 at those.
I'm sure that's what the plan is.
Mm-hmm.
But
hey, if it works for him, it works for him.
But we're savvy consumers, and we see right through that.
Yeah, by I already own Kingdom Hearts 3.
By savvy consumers, I mean cheap-ass bitches.
Well, y'all are cheap-ass bitches, but a little more Game Pass news. There's some games coming to PC Game Pass as well, with Indivisible, Reigns, Game of Thrones, Two Point Hospital, Wasteland Remastered, and Yakuza 0 all coming to PC Game Pass. So, good news for PC fans as well.
Had they previously announced that Yakuza was going to PC Game Pass? Because I felt like that was something we didn't know. But
I'm pretty sure when it was announced at the whatever event that they did, what was it that they announced Yakuza games were going to be on Game Pass? Was that in Inside Xbox or XO 2019? Yeah,
wasn't the Game Awards, was it?
I don't think so.
I thought it was where they, that's where they announced it.
I feel like it was the Game Awards.
I'm pretty sure it was before that.
No, Joe, I'm 119% sure.
You're full of shit. You can go fuck yourself.
All right. Here's the thing. If Jacob is even going like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was the Game Awards, the guy who knows nothing, when he actually knows something, we should probably take some credence into that.
Fine, let's look this shit up.
I am looking this shit up, dickhead. Game Awards. Yakuza. It's going to take a while.
Yeah. XO19, Yakuza 0, Yakuza Kiwami, and Yakuza Kiwami 2 coming to Xbox. Suck my dick. It was XO19.
I think you hacked the mainframe.
Yes, I did.
And changed it so that... It's like, what's that condition where everybody remembers Bernstein Bears being spelt differently?
Mandela effect.
Yes, that's what Mandela you get. That's what you guys are stuck here with. You guys saw a different version of the Game Awards.
Yes.
But yeah, Yakuza 0, they announced that it was going to be for console and for PC in early 2020. So the first one's on the way. We got two more coming, and hopefully they won't be too far behind. Sony is skipping out on PAX East this year due to the coronavirus.
Is it really because of the coronavirus?
I was going to say, haven't they been skipping a bunch of shit?
They're missing GDC, too.
Yeah, they're skipping out again because they're blaming the coronavirus. I kind of don't fault them for that one. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people at PAX from all over the world. I mean... 10% of the world's population is under travel restriction right now because of this virus.
Where is the game developer conference this year?
I have no clue.
San Francisco.
There you go. So Boston and San Francisco, they're both trying to avoid because of potential coronavirus threat. I'm not going to blame them. They're putting the safety and health of their employees before anything else and before profits. So I'll give them a pass on this. I don't blame them for skipping out. Although Vertically Impaired is going to be at PAX East cosplaying as a Slav.
Please, oh, please take a shower before you begin your cosplay and buy some deodorant to go with your Adidas tracksuit.
Yes.
Like some of that, like go to your doctor and be like, I'm going to a convention, and I need some deodorant, and it needs to be like medical strength, because
medical strength.
Shit gets stinky up in conventions. Do I think you're unhygienic? I think everybody that goes to conventions is unhygienic. The whole nature of a convention is unhygienic. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong, because you can't.
You are wrong. You are wrong. When I went to MAGFest 8 with Joe, I showered every day.
Yeah, but did everybody else?
I did.
Well, yeah. Sometimes Joe and I showered together. Whatever.
Thank you for being conscious of your water usage and saving the planet.
Yes, that's exactly why I did it.
That's how you took one for the team.
Yeah, yeah, Joe definitely took one for the team, if you know what I mean. No, seriously, you know, we had to scrub each other's backs and stuff.
Yeah, it's gross.
Whatever, I shaved because for you.
There's congee in your back hair.
Oh, let's see. What other news? Embracer Group, the parent of THQ Nordic and Deep Silver, just purchased Saber Interactive for $150 million. Saber Interactive is known for the NBA Playground series and World War Z. And it's reported that the Embracer Group now owns 26 different studios.
They're in. Dang. Wasn't yeah. there something we said like several months ago that they had over 500 games in development?
I don't know if it's that many.
It was that many. No, was I specifically it? Remember 500 being the number and being like, the fuck?
Maybe. But
yeah. How
I don't
many?
Remember, but they have a lot yeah. of shit going on, so... Undead Labs announced State of Decay 2 Juggernaut Edition.
Yes.
Did you hear about this, Cole?
Yes.
It is an expanded and improved version of State of Decay 2, likened to a State of Decay 2.5. It includes a whole new map, new heavy melee weapons, graphical improvements, an improved control scheme, and tons of bug fixes. It also includes the Independence Pack, the Daybreak Pack, and the Heartland DLC. Best of all, it's a free update for existing owners.
Yes.
Which is always good. It releases March 13th on Xbox One, Windows 10, and Steam, and features cross-play across all platforms, and obviously, it is on Game Pass.
Yes. I love State of Decay. I love it so hard. So I'm excited. I can't wait to play it. I will play it with you. I love that I have a weapon that's literally called Eternal's Infinite Rage.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if that was intentional or what, because I've chatted with people from Undead Labs before, and like I won one of their giveaways where I have a big metal Bronto Gas sign from the first game.
Oh, that's cool as hell.
Yeah, and I was like, that's very funny. They didn't put the H in Rage though, but but it's very amusing. And I was like, this is incredible, and it's my favorite gun. It just blows through everything.
And that's just the default name for the gun in the game.
Yeah,
that's definitely a shout out.
There are shouts to other like super fans. There's one guy. Oh, I can't remember his name right now. There's one guy who like for years after the first game came out, he was always just posting on Twitter, like his whole goal was just to find all the insane places in the game that he could put a car. So like he would just put different cars in different trees all around the map, on top of different buildings, and just anywhere he could, any of the insane places he thought he could fit a car, he would.
That is beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, he spent hundreds of thousands of hours just putting cars in random places, and it was his favorite thing to do.
Hey, more power to him.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Undead Labs State of K2 Juggernaut Edition next month. Should be good.
Yes. So excited.
It has been confirmed that Rainbow Six Siege is coming to the Xbox Series X and the PS5 and is planned for launch day, and there is speculation that console crossplay and cross-progression is in the works. So, Rainbow wow. Six Siege fans have a lot to look forward to, it seems.
I was seriously cool. curious, like, were they going to go for a Siege 2? Or are they, they're in year 5, for fuck's sakes.
Yeah.
But it's still just as popular as it was years ago.
If not more popular. It's
just as good. So why fuck with, you know, don't fix what ain't broke. But, man, I don't know. I'm glad to hear that they're at least going to carry it on, but. I never could get Suda into it, so I didn't get to play it much.
Yeah, I never really got into that one either. But
I was so into it. I love it. But I can't get anybody else to play it with me. I'm like, fuck. This is a reoccurring problem, because I have very eccentric
games. Let me know. You know I have, like, so many games. I'm happy to play with other people. Just message me.
I know.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me.
Yeah, anxiety. I don't send messages.
Yeah, I need some help with a couple of games to get a few achievements. So yeah,
Overcooked 2 has some DLC, and Man Number 1 could use some help. So
I'm just gonna throw rice at you the whole time.
I know, that's why I'm not offering you to help.
Fucking burn!
Well, I never.
Fucking burn. That'll
just
teach
like
you.
All the stoves he set on fire.
Man. Oh, man. Anyway, last bit of news I have is that Nintendo is releasing a new color of the Nintendo Switch Lite on April 3rd. It will be a coral pink color for $199.
It's beautiful.
It is so pretty.
It is really pretty. Like, I'm not inclined to play the Switch, but and I thought, like, if I did get a Switch Lite, I would get a yellow one, because yellow is my favorite color. But fuck, the coral one is pretty.
Yeah.
And, like, the funny part is the girls were going to get Switch Lites, and then, like, the funding wasn't there, so we just got the one Switch for them all to share, right?
Which is good.
And it's fine. It's been fine. They don't mind. But I figured it was faster to get them that than wait for them to save up to get the Switch Lights for each of them. But number one saw the coral, and it was the first time she was like, she sat here and she looked over my shoulder at it for a little while. And then she immediately gets up and goes and gets her computer and comes back in here and starts sitting down. She's in a program called Upward Bound.
Mm-hmm.
And they get paid a stipend for every trip they go to back to the campus, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in between those trips, they have webinars. And if you do the webinars, you get a bonus for each one. So what she had done was sat down to look to see if she had webinars she could do so she could get enough money on her next trip.
Aww.
And she's like, wait a second. There could be funding involved. But she's due a paycheck too. She's been working as a bus monitor in the evenings.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's due a paycheck from that. So with that and maybe what she can get from her stipend, she might be able to get a coral.
That'd be cool. Switch.
Yeah, she's super into it.
Who's gonna take ownership of Pokemon then?
Oh Lord. Oh God. We're gonna need to buy another. Well, we're probably going to get them Pokemon. They have Sword, so we'll probably... Which one did you send them? Sword? Shield? Shield.
I think
Shield.
You got Shield, yeah.
Yeah, so whatever one they don't have, we are planning to get for them when we get our tax return.
And then you could trade Pokemans back and forth.
Oh, that's what they're going to do, and I'm so tired of hearing about Pokemon. They all beat it couple weeks ago when school was out where everybody was sick and they weren't in school for like 14 fucking days. And so all three of them beat it within a couple hours of each other.
That's
and
really
they were
cool.
Super excited. And so they're sorry, I was just reading what they said in chat real quick. But they're all super excited and trading their Pokemon around, and I'm really fucking tired of here. I thought, okay, they finally beat it, and I can have a break. I'm not going to have to hear about Pokemon. They might play something else for a little while.
Nope.
How is there still more shit to do?
Because you got to catch them all, or at least as many as they allow you to get in the game now.
And then number three is, like, every day she keeps asking me how long until the expansion comes out. It's June. It doesn't come out till fucking June.
Oh, God.
It's been a month already. Please stop asking me this question. I'm
turn,
so tired.
Turn this switch around and go home.
Yeah. I will take your Joy-Cons and hide them, goddammit. Stop asking me questions.
Now help me with the review, damn it.
Yeah. They're very excited when they come home today.
Oh,
I was
man.
Like, that's all on you guys. I'm not doing shit. Have fun.
Well, yeah, that's the news I have. Anyone have anything else you want to talk about? Or should we dive into reviews?
Whoa, I got news.
What do you have?
Hey. The Borderlands movie got announced today.
Really?
Yeah, Lionsgate's going to be releasing it. Eli Roth I know he's directing it. He might also be writing it.
Interesting.
So, yeah, it was announced like 4 or 5 hours ago, and there is a post up on the Borderlands Facebook page confirming it.
That's pretty cool. Eli Roth, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a little questionable. Like, I think, I don't know. Like, I mean, Hostel was all right, Death Wish, not so much. So, I don't know. He's one of those guys where it's just like, when he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he kind of sucks. So, yeah. kind of curious as to how this one plays out. And I'm wondering if it got greenlit because supposedly another Mad Max movie got greenlit too, supposedly. So I'm wondering. Yeah. So there's that. And then I thought there was other video game news too.
I mean, there is a lot more news, but I don't write absolutely everything down.
No. I mean about like movies and shit, and I forget what. Yeah, I don't know. Man, I'm drawing a blank. We did talk about the Just Dance movie, right?
No. What?
So back in January, it got buried in the headlines. Like some media group announced that they were making this film, and I forget what the fuck it is. Like, it's some big name, like, movie with big names attached. And it's just like, and we also have, like, all these other projects, like, you know, coming out. And one of them was Just Dance, the movie.
Jesus Christ, why?
Literally nothing has been announced about it, other than, hey, we bought the rights to Just Dance, and we're making a movie out of it.
That's incredible.
Honestly, what I figure is that it's probably just going to be like a dance. Well, obviously it's going to be a dance movie. I figure it's probably going to be it's surprisingly an action film about farming. Who knew?
got Cole's attention with that.
Something just happened.
I figure it's probably going to be like along the lines of like the Step Up films.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know what the hell it would have to do with the Just Dance games, but who the fuck knows? So I guess we'll find out.
It's just a movie about people dancing with their cell phones. Like in a world where cell phone dancing was outlawed, one crew decided it was up to them to fight back.
And just all they could dance, do is
rated R.
And all they could do is just dance.
Rated NC-17. So yeah, should we dive into reviews?
Nah, all right.
All right, Jacob, I know you have one, but you're getting bumped because there's a more important game to talk about first.
Well, I mean, if I'm talking about a game, I figure all the other games are far more important. So
They are, but I don't want to keep you here all night.
That's fair.
Yeah. So, Cole, you ready?
Yep.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is called Bayonetta and Vanquish 10th Anniversary Bundle, developed by Platinum Games, published by Sega, released February 18th on Xbox One and PS4 for $39.99. Individual titles are available for $24.99 each. Commemorate the 10th anniversary of Platinum Games' two most celebrated titles with the Bayonetta and Vanquish Remastered Dual Pack, 4K graphics available at 60 frames per second on Xbox One X. Experience the genesis of the Bayonetta series with the original action adventure. Take advantage of Bayonetta's arsenal of skills to hack, slash, and open fire upon hordes of celestial foes, and then play as space soldier Sam Gideon in the hit sci-fi shooter Vanquish, equipped with Blade, the experimental weapon system that can scan and copy existing weapons. He must infiltrate conquered space colony Providence and defeat legions of future tech enemies. Cole, you checked out both of these games. What are your thoughts on them?
I think that it's a very odd combination of games.
Well, there are two games, both by Platinum Games, that were released last gen. So
I'm very
published by Sega.
I'm very aware of why. It's just that as a couple of games, like you couldn't have picked two from further ends of the genre spectrum. Like,
I guess that speaks to Platinum's versatility.
I'll give them credit there. So we're going to start with Bayonetta. The game Bayonetta's been sitting in my backlog for like fucking ever. It has a similar or same designer as Devil May Cry. We all fucking know how much I love Devil May Cry. So it's kind of a no-brainer that it's a game I've wanted to play. But the reason I haven't played it is because who the fuck has any time when you do a podcast where you do reviews? So this was my chance when you're like, do you want the Bayonetta and Vanquish double pack? I'm like, fucking yes, because now I can finally play Bayonetta. And I wasn't let down. It's the quirky gothic Barocian hack and slash that I needed today. And I'm like, I'm down for this. I'm very happy with this. They did a pretty solid job remastering it. Bayonetta is an odd game in every sense of the term. Like, when you do an ultimate move, it's literally called a climax, and her hair comes off of her body, because apparently her hair makes up her clothes, so then she becomes naked, and then like a giant dragon bounces out of a wall and eats the bad guy. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
sounds
delightful.
Natural to me.
It's delightfully weird. Like, you still enjoy it, even though you're like, that's the most insane shit I possibly could have seen. But I'm okay with it. Let's go on and hack and slash some more demon angels? I don't know what's going on with any of these things. I'm assuming they're angels. They're white. They're covered in gold. They have halos. They look very much like demons. I'm a witch. It is crazy in this game, and I don't know why. The greatest part of Bayonetta's remaster is that it loads fucking smooth. It plays fucking smooth. You can just go into it, set that shit to auto, don't put any thought into it, hack and slash your way around, collect your halos, buy your shit in the shop, collect more halos, do it again, and be happy. It's great. It's like Devil May Cry, but with a mostly naked lady.
I'm fun. Sold.
Yeah. And so it's fantastic. I do have one stinking complaint.
Let's hear it.
When Bayonetta was released in the 360 PlayStation 3 era, a lot of games had this muddy brown, beige, gray color palette because hardware limitations. Every now and then you get flashes of red for like blood or shit, but everything ultimately is pretty muddy. I think I was spoiled by the Spyro remaster.
Mm.
And I wanted everything to be like really brought to life and be given like a full on hardcore clean this shit up remaster. And I wanted something done with those muddy looking graphics.
You wanted a remake, not a remaster.
No, I think they could have done a little more, even as far as a remaster goes, to just do something about the color palette a little. Because especially, like, in some of the boss battles, I remember specifically, like, the sky is super gray and muddy looking, and, like, there's a hint of sun behind the clouds, but it's just more yellow into taupe, into gray, into beige, into, and even as the...
Taupe.
But taupe. As the boss's face is like coming out, and it's just, it's all washed together and kind of lost. And I kept thinking, man, if they had just taken a little longer and put a little color in it, a lot could have been done for the game, if that makes any sense. Just, it could have just looked that much better. That might be my art nerd side being picky.
Probably.
But I just think, the way that it's all muddy and everything, it's a disappointment in that regard. But as far as just like going into it, hacking and slashing your way through and spamming the buttons and I don't know anybody who ever fucking bothers to learn the combos. So just spam the buttons and have a party and you'll be happy. You'll enjoy yourself. But yeah, from a review point, I would have liked to have seen it look a little nicer.
Yeah.
But hey, it's 60 frames per second of goodness. So other than that, that's great. Vanquish, again, totally other side of the genre spectrum. You have a third person shooter, very linear storyline, corrupt politicians, robots, Russians. I don't like the whole story feels like it's half-assedly cobbled together just to give you an excuse to shoot shit. I'm okay with it, but it was like the whole time the story's carrying on in the background, I'm like, can I skip this cutscene? Like, I don't need the exposition. I just want to shoot shit. Just let me go shoot shit. You can't skip cutscenes, by the way. You can't in Bayonetta. But Bayonetta's story is actually kind of interesting, and you want to hear the cutscene. I was invested in that, and in Vanquish, I'm like, I just want to shoot it. Just move. Sam Gideon is your anti-hero. He's kind of a poor man's attempt at an anti-hero. He's gruff. He's chain smoking. He's just a soldier with an arsenal of bad one-liners.
I was going to say, you regain health by smoking cigarettes, don't you?
That's not a part of it. If that was part of the original, then it's not anymore.
Well, I thought that was Metal Gear, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he does something with cigarettes in this game, though. During the middle of a firefight. Does it improve his focus or something?
You see, there's no option for you to make him smoke. You're thinking of Stone. Stone lets you just stop and smoke anywhere. But Vanquish, he's always smoking in the cutscenes, but as far as your part, you don't actually, make him light up or anything. But, I do find it kind of funny because, armored system and all, augmented reality system, he'd be winded as much as he smokes. He ain't moving around like this. But that does bring me to the movement, and that the mechanics and the movement are where Vanquish shines. Like, as unlikable and dull as Sam Gideon kind of is, not kind of is, totally is, he's just not a character. I'm not a dude who chain smokes and uses bad one-liner, so maybe I'm not meant to connect.
Me.
I do use bad one-liners. I take that one back. Maybe I'm not meant to connect to Sam Gideon, but he's there, and that's who we've got. I wouldn't say that he has the character of somebody who makes me want to, break my back to go play Vanquish. But the movement is super cool because you can slide your way into these battles and use the suit. It's constantly moving and changing based on how you're fighting, scanning the weapons and flipping through between them. It's very, very cool, very dynamic, and it's clear that it was an inspiration for games that we play now, like Titanfall and Apex, as far as the way that you move and the fluidity of the movement in the game. I think that's definitely Vanquish's strongest selling point, if nothing else. There are some really cool moments in the game where even when you don't have the room to do that kind of mobility system, the world itself is kind of moving. One level has you on this platform that's moving around what looks like a roller coaster track. And so then enemies are flying in above you and to the sides of you, and they're on other rails alongside of you, and you've got to pick them all off. That was one of the coolest video game moments I've ever had. I just felt like the biggest badass, just sniping them as they would zoom by on their, on their platform. I'm like, yeah, this is great. And then he says something stupid, and I'm like, oh, never mind. Just shut this guy up already. I did also have some problems with Vanquish as far as, actually playing it goes. It did crash to the dashboard on me a couple of times. One was super severe in that it was during one of those loading scenes where it literally says, do not turn off your Xbox One. Which is never when you want the game to freeze. The whole point, too, was I sat forever. I thought, I've had the games installed on my external solid state drive. They've been loading pretty quickly. I realized that my loading time was not indicative of what everybody would have playing on, but, I was very satisfied. I never sat on loading screens. And so I was playing it, and it got to this loading screen. I thought, well, that's a first. And I thought, okay, well, I'll give it a minute. And then I got to messing around on the computer, checking messages. And then before I realize it, 20 minutes has gone by, and I look over and it's still on this loading screen.
Oh, man.
And the circle was still spinning. There was animation in the background, but it wasn't going anywhere. And I was like, oh, no. Oh, no. So I crashed it to the dashboard myself, loaded it back up, and it did unfortunately lose several missions worth of progress.
That sucks.
Thankfully, the missions are stupid ass fast. And especially if you're me and you're playing on super pussy crybaby mode, you're going to go through them even quicker because you can kind of just run through most of it. I didn't. I at least shot shit because I was there to shoot shit. That's what I do. I just didn't. I started the game initially on hard because there were achievements for beating it on hard. But I didn't realize that the achievements for beating it on hard meant you had to beat it on hard without dying. And seeing as I'd never played the game and didn't know what I was getting into, I was like, that's a bad idea. I'm not going to torment myself. And I started over after already being like six missions in. Damn. But I hadn't completed the first act. So I was like, wow. Nah. Yeah, fuck it.
You're good.
Yeah. And so then I just like went back down to casual mode and was like, bitches do it like this. I'm okay. I don't need anything stressing me out about not dying.
Yeah.
I will say the augmented reality system, I brought up the movement, but the augmented reality system is super cool too. There's two different ways to kick it into gear. One is just take a fuck ton of damage and it'll kick in automatically, which is kind of how, you know, oh shit, you need to sit down and take a minute. Because theoretically, Vanquish is cover shooter. Very Division in that regard. But you're in a super cool suit with all these different abilities and these big ass guns, and who the fuck wants to sit behind cover in that case?
Yeah.
So I was I have no sense of self-preservation anyway, even in shooters, and I'm a run and gunner till I die, which is very quickly. So it's nice that, you know, when you've taken a few bullets, the game will kick you into that ARS and let you know that you need to sit down for a minute and chill out. But you can also kick it yourself. You have to hold the left stick and press A to evade, and then it's the right bumper. The problem with it is that it puts your suit on cooldown. And then you can do literally nothing that involves your suit after that. And the cooldown is so long that it just makes it unenjoyable to force yourself into that mode. Even when it could help you out, you just be like, never mind, I'll just sit down and wait until everything calms down before I have to kick it into that mode. Because you don't want to find yourself, like, if you're in a position where you're already struggling, you kick it into augmented mode, you clear everything out, but you might have a couple enemies left, and you're out of ammo, but your suit's on cooldown, so you can't go scan a gun for ammo. So then you're stuck. And then your suit's on cooldown, so you can't melee. So, like, you can't slide around because your suit's on cooldown. So it's like, well, fuck. So I just have to sit here and be bored and wait. That, besides the crash, was probably my biggest complaint. The cooldown on any time you use the suit is so ungodly long that it makes you just not want to use the cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I had a good time with both games. I do think that for the most part, the remasters are fine. I think Vanquish looks slightly better than Bayonetta because of the muddy color palette. But Bayonetta wins over Vanquish, like, as far as, like, character models go. Bayonetta's character models look way better, and whoever Hillary Clinton lookalike they modeled their president after in Vanquish is, she looks rough. rough.
Well, as it stands, they're $25 a piece or $40 for the bundle, and if you go physical for $40, you get a badass steelbook with it. What are your thoughts on everything?
I think if you're a fan of either of these games, you're absolutely going to want to buy them on this gen of console, especially given how the future console Series X and stuff are going to be backward compatible. It'll be nice to have that in your library and carry it forward with you. I think if you were going to buy them, you're better off buying them as a bundle. Especially given Vanquish needs a little more polish to deal with the crashes and stuff. So if you were going to buy that one by itself, at least know that it's got a few hiccups and you're going to run into them. But I do think they're worth the money in that, especially if you're a fan of either of them, you're going to be happy.
Cool. Jacob, what are your thoughts? Are you excited to hear about the two-pack? Are you going to pick it up?
Oh, yeah, I'll be picking it up. Yeah, that wasn't even a question. I love Vanquish. I actually beat that one completely, which, as some people know, is very unusual for me. And Bayonetta, I mean, that game's a ton of fun, and also she's sexy as hell. So.
I do want to say, I had a problem with Vanquish, but I didn't want to include it as far as, like, the review itself goes, because it's specifically a me problem. Okay. But there are a ton of quick time events, and if you have any kind of condition, Bayonetta had quite a few of them as well. If you have a condition that affects your hands, then you can expect a lot of hand fatigue. Because I spent both games are fairly short to play, but it took me longer because I had to keep stopping and resting my hands in between.
I was going to say,
quick time events were pretty rough.
I remember Vanquish only taking like 6 to 8 hours.
It's super quick. But I would say, I don't want to include it as part of the review as like, this is a reason this is a con or anything. But it would be nice. I've seen a lot of games lately give you the option to turn off quick time events. And I would like to see that as far as both Bayonetta and Vanquish go, because they're hard on my hands.
Unfortunately, I think that was just a product of the era of all the QuickTime events.
It was, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And when I was younger and my arthritis wasn't as bad, it didn't bother me. But now I'm old and this shit hurts, and I would like a button to turn off QuickTime events, please.
All right, so your overall verdict.
Yeah, I give it a buy it. I'm good with it. Yeah.
All right. Next game to talk about is called Spaceland, developed by Tortuga Team, published by A Lot of Games, released February 14th on Xbox One for $19.99. An incredibly dynamic turn-based strategy that brings to life the traditions of old-school sci-fi tactics. Jacob, what did you think of Spaceland?
I don't play a lot of tactical strategy games like this. So it was nice getting back into it, because honestly, I don't think I've played anything like it since probably one of the XCOM games on Xbox 360. AKA it's been a while. all right, so pretty much the game, it's a generic sci-fi story. You're these Marines, Army guys, whatever, and you get this distress call from a planet, and you're like, oh, it's the damn tourists. They're messing up. Let's go, give them a jump start on their car and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, you get down to the planet, and of course, like, the weather's bad. Oh, no, we're going to crash. And, instead you find out things on the planet haven't been going correctly.
Ooh.
And there's been mysterious attacks. It's the standard plot of pretty much every, Aliens movie, mixed in with The Thing a little bit. But, we have these two characters. One of them's like the newbie fresh out of the academy. The other one's this grizzled veteran, like, who chomps on a cigar, wears a cowboy hat, and, it's like, hey there, buckaroo. Yeah, I don't like pressing buttons or some stuff, but I carry a shotgun. Like, I don't trust technology. And
goddamn kids, get off my lawn.
Yeah. And so it's essentially, like, you're going in, you have to find out what's happening. Like, you meet people, you can upgrade your weapons and stuff, and then you just have to get rid of the alien menace. I didn't fully beat the game, I will say that. So I don't know how it ends. I'm assuming that they get off the planet, or at least defeat the alien menace. But honestly, it was a pretty smooth gaming experience. I was kind of surprised by it. It plays like XCOM. You're able to move like so many spaces in an area, and then you get to decide if you're going to attack or push a button or whatever or refill your ammo.
Kick a barrel.
Yeah, or actually you can't, well, it's not barrels, but like you kick them, you know, across the way. I don't know, like they're really just storage blocks, but yeah, they might as well be kicking barrels.
I mean, there are explosive barrels that you can kick in the game.
Yeah, but it's just like it's fairly generic in its presentation, but it's mechanics that you're going to be familiar with or at least be able to pick up generally on pretty quickly. Like the game doesn't really do any hand holding. I would say like there's no tutorial level. The story is either set to easy or normal. There's like no, there didn't appear to be like a hard setting for the game. So, but it's just, you know, you go around, you play in your moves. You have the aliens who will kick your ass. And of course you have to figure out how you're going to kick their ass. Cause there's some aliens that, you know, you can't attack them from the front, and they're also one hit kill aliens. So, you know,
hooray.
Yeah. So if they get in front of you, you're fucked. So you have to plan your moves out correctly. Like you have to have a guy who runs away and then a guy who will, go behind them. So you really do have to do strategy with this. That being said, the graphics aren't anything to get excited about. I mean, I believe this is a $15 game.
$20.
Okay.
If you would have paid attention when I said that at the beginning.
Joe, I don't believe it.
Not just me.
Well, we don't ever actually listen to Joe anyway, so.
I put that information there for a reason, damn it.
I usually don't know how much a game costs until Joe says it at the beginning of the review.
I actually don't. I'm known for, like, we have to discuss it at the end because I just don't. Usually I'm mentally prepping myself when he gives the description, so I just don't, you know, it doesn't register with me. All right, anyway.
I'm usually anxiety puking in a bucket.
Anxiety puke. Yeah, so Space Land, well, it's $19.99.
All right, $19.99. The graphics are not anything to get excited about. Honestly, this could have released on iOS. Like, the dialogue is all delivered through text boxes. There's no voice acting. It's just, it's a very simple game. However, like in that regard, however, the gameplay, it's spot on. It's pretty great in that regard. I had fun doing it. I also found it to be frustrating because I'm also not much of a tactical guy. You know, I'm very much pray and spray. but you know, yeah. If you're looking for, you know, something else to play while you're waiting for the next XCOM game to come out, this is definitely something to look at. The characters and storyline are generic, but the gameplay's solid.
So, $20, your overall verdict?
I'm a little uncomfortable with that. If it was 15, I'd be like, yeah. Because, honestly, as I said, this feels like a slightly prettier mobile game. Mm-hmm. But if you're a fan of this genre, then I guess $20 wouldn't be bad, but I'd be more okay with 15.
All right.
I still recommend it.
Yeah.
Like,
I had fun with it too. Good stuff. Well, Jacob, it was a pleasure having you on here. We're going to let you get going.
Yay.
Yay. So, you can. How else do you follow that?
Cole, what was that? You want me to tell you what the mid-credits scene is in Sonic?
Yeah, I'm good.
That's right. I'll spoil it. I'll hop on the Twitch channel.
Hang up on him. Do it now.
You know who shows up, Cole? It's...
I don't read Twitch. What are you talking about?
Damn it, Jerry. You're supposed to hang up on me right then.
Hang up your goddamn self.
No, you're supposed to cut me off, and then you're like, I cut off G.
Okay, so...
Problem solved.
Oh, man. All right, next game to talk about is called The Adventures of Double O Dilly, developed by Kai Piranha Games, published by Toplitz Productions, released February 12th on Xbox One, PS4, and PC for $14.99. Experience the adventures of Double O Dilly, the ultimate crash test dummy, comes to life. Help Dilly show off his skills while shooting him across the Grand Canyon with strange devices. Collect points, find treasure, and soar upward to the highest scores with Dilly. Cole, tell us about this one.
So, this is an adorable physics platformer with a sentient crash test. Crash test dummy? Yes, that.
Proud of you.
Basically, he goes to the Grand Canyon to put himself, his name is Double O Dilly, and he puts himself through some rigorous crash test scenarios to prove that he could, in fact, still be a crash test dummy after he's forcibly retired. And there's something involving radioactivity results in him becoming sentient. It's a weird thing, okay? the gameplay is super fun, though. It's very simple, but it's one of those games that even though it's simple, it still takes a lot of time and practice to actually get good at. You start off each level, and you get like a camera pan that shows you where all the launch pads are and, you know, where the collectibles are. And basically, Double O Dilly is chilling out in a trebuchet?
Trebuchet, yeah.
I'm too high to pronounce that. So he's in a trebuchet, and you have the ability to use the right thumbstick. Now, this is my number one complaint. Both horizontal and vertical movement of the trebuchet is tied to the right thumbstick. So I don't know why, but I found that incredibly difficult to adjust to. I kept trying to control the horizontal side of it with the left thumbstick, and it just does nothing. And I so badly wanted to be able to use both controls for the camera. Once you've got it in the right kind of position, you got it on the trajectory that you want. I cannot speak.
Trajectory. Okay, you only got a couple more to go.
Yeah, we're doing fine. you're doing great, sweetie. Then you press A, and it launches Dilly. At this point, the camera kind of follows along, and you can use the left thumbstick now. And you can kind of push him forward a little so that he'll fly forward a little more. You can pull him back, try to get him to slow down. And so basically the layout of each level, there will be trampolines, there are mattresses, there are planks where you land on the plank and then a goat knocks a big giant rock down on the other side and launches you again. It's wild, okay? It's wild and it's ridiculous, and there's only 12 levels, and I was sad there wasn't more because I had such a good time launching this crash test dummy through these levels. I will say they're difficult. There's definitely a really steep learning curve. You get a rating level at the end, and it basically boils down to, were you able to collect all the secrets? Were you able to collect all the little coins that are littered through? The coins are helpful too, because they can kind of help you like determine the path that you need to be on. I'm not saying trajectory anymore. so you can kind of visualize where you need your jumps to be at. Which is great, but then if you miss, then you're already just like, well, I'm fucked now. There's nothing I can do about going back and getting that. There's also some of the trampolines are surrounded by barrels that will explode. Crash test dummy. But the really weird thing is that sometimes you will be flying through the air and a pissed off grizzly bear throws toilets at you.
Oh.
It's weird. It's a weird game. I, Are there grizzly bears in the Grand Canyon? I don't think there are.
Maybe.
Are they out there throwing bullets?
I mean, yes. That's what bears do.
That's totally what bears do. It's what bears do in this game. I think that was one of the more frustrating parts, though, is like, you know where that fucking bear is going to be, but you have to be on the trajectory to get the... God damn it, I said it again. To get the coins. And, like, I have yet to figure out a way to get the coins and not get hit by that motherfucking bear who has aim assist wall hacks. I'm fed up with the bear.
I can tell.
He cheats, telling you. But it's a lot of fun. You get the more you get in the game. See, Rootbeer says in chat, definitely no grizzly bears in the Grand Canyon. I didn't think so. What do I know? There's definitely one in the game.
Could be their vacation spot.
Maybe they went to go prove that they're the ultimate grizzly bear, since you're trying to prove that you're a good crash test dummy. I don't know. The Grand Canyon is full of miracles, guys.
Yes. It's a place of wonder and amazement.
So the best thing is that at the end of every level is a billboard. Your screenshot that you had on screen for people who are listening just recently showed one of these. The goal is to land in the target that is spray painted on the back of the billboard. If you land dilly perfectly bullseye, then you get to see the other side of the billboard. Now, I will spoil one of the billboards for you, but you're going to have to play to find out what the other ones look like. But it's absolutely hilarious because the billboards are for Walter Jeans. So they're close-ups of crotches and jeans. But if you get Dilly to land in the bullseye when it turns around, he looks like a wee willy winky poking out of the... It's very funny and also not at all what I expected, so don't let kids play that part.
Hey, it's rated E10 for comic mischief. Yeah,
there it is. Comic mischief is the wee willy winky made out of Dilly. But other than that, I thought it was really fun. I had a good time with it. It plays fine. I didn't have any trouble. Like I said, other than the controls, that was just a personal thing.
Yeah.
That's not a knock on the game. It's just, I'm old and prefer games that move things to different thumbsticks. But hey, I say that again. I'm assuming Root Beer is referring to me saying wee willy winky. We gotta keep it clean in this so that we can stay monetized.
Yeah. Totally. So $15 bucks on the Adventures of 00 Dilly. What do you think?
Man, that's kind of a high price. That's like more than $1 a level. Ouch. I think it would have been a little better suited in the $8 to $10 range. It does have some replayability. You can try to do it over and over to get a better, to get a better rating on each level. But I don't think it's still not enough to justify that high of a price tag. So I'm gonna give it a pretty recommended try. I think it's a lot of fun, but it's a little high. Maybe wait for a sale.
All right, I'm eyeing this one up myself. I think it looks pretty cool, so maybe I'll drop the 15 on it. I have some Microsoft reward points that are burning a hole in my pocket, so maybe I'll treat myself. Next game to talk about is called Ailment, developed by Beardy Bird Games, published by Epixar Games, released February 21st on Xbox One for $9.99. Ailment is a pixel art action game that takes place on a spaceship in a galaxy far, far away. The main character wakes up in a spaceship after being unconscious for 3 days and all of his crew became enemies. He has to remember what happened and find out the truth. Cole, what happened and what is the truth?
I don't know. Was I supposed to play this game? No, that's a joke.
Oh, God.
I just wanted to hear your reaction.
Oh, you.
I'm sorry. The reality is I played it 2 weeks ago, and I don't fucking remember what happened.
Did you take notes?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
I'm so proud of you.
The notes are the only thing saving me. Like, I can imagine what the game looked like, and I remember what I bitched about, but it was like, okay, but what about the story? yikes. Oh, boy. She should have let me review this 2 weeks ago when I told you I had it done already. It's not safe to leave me to my own device.
It didn't come out until now.
Okay.
Do I have to play an ad break? Are you okay?
I'm good. We get ads?
I could do a 60-second ad break.
Holy shit. No, I'm good, honestly, but... It was just funny to get your reaction there. So I played Ailment. I promise I played it. I actually completed it. It's a pretty easy completion. So chalk it up 1 point for that. We love our easy completions.
We do.
Not mad about that at all. It's a pixel art game. Originally started off as a mobile game. It's a one dude show. Kudos to him for that. It was on Kickstarter. Unfortunately, it was not funded when it was on Kickstarter. So this has been a labor of love to get Ailment out there into the elements. So I definitely don't want to shit on it in any regard as far as that. It does have some, this was a mobile game kind of quirks that carry over to the console version though. You can get used to them, but one of the biggest things is that I wanted to approach the game like a twin stick shooter. Unfortunately, the second stick is useless. It doesn't do any good. There's nothing mapped to the second stick. It is not a twin stick as far as aiming. The game, and again, this is a mobile thing, I'm assuming, that has held in there, is that, you move around with the left thumbstick and the character just auto aims at things. So then that just leaves you to either press X or RB. Why RB and not the trigger? I don't fucking know. Why do games keep doing this? And there's no button remapping because, you know, it was a mobile game. So you just get what you get and fucking don't get upset. but RB or X to shoot, and you just blow your way through. It is a roguelite. I will tell you this. I never fucking died. And I'll tell you why. I was really stupid and didn't realize that I could buy weapons. I was just taking what I found and dealing with it because it auto-aims, so what's it matter? And so I was putting all my points into health. And literally by like the second level, it was like being stung by a bee if something hit me. Oh, and I was, man, like, that's fine. So I would just blow through big hordes of enemies. And by big hordes, I mean like there might have been 10 of them. That's about as wild as it gets on screen at any given time. There were a couple places where they would spawn pretty heavily. If you kept walking, they would eventually start swarming you. But again, you never had more than like 7 to 10 on screen at a time. So it was manageable. As you're exploring the ship, you'll find NPCs to add to your party, and they'll help you as well, which is great when there are larger swarms if you aren't the kind of person who put literally thousands of dollars worth of upgrades into your health. you know, if you don't want to be dumb and actually want to try out the different weapons that you don't find, that's an option.
So proud of you.
I will say I did have some trouble with the NPCs. They're dumb. That's what I'm trying to say. they will walk into walls. They will get stuck on blocks. They just won't fucking go. And thankfully, it doesn't hold you back. But I would be like 4 or 5 levels ahead, just plowing through enemies. And then suddenly the NPC would respawn beside me. I'd be like, oh, yeah, that guy.
You, I remember God, you.
Thing. I would be like trying to kill everything because you can't open doors till everything is dead. And so like, I'd be like, why didn't this one die? Oh, right. That's my guy. Because everybody was just dudes on the ship, so they all look the same. Even your NPCs look like friendlies. You look like friendly. Fucking everybody looks alike. I don't know. Or enemies, not friendlies. I don't know. English is hard. But it's fine in that it's just a shooter where you go in and you hold a button down. The AI is dumb, says the lady who didn't realize you could buy weapons, says Aki. To be fair.
Yeah, I almost spit out my water while drinking that, and I read that.
To be fair, there's nothing on the HUD that tells you how to do anything, ever. It's literally just I hit a button on accident and realized that it was a tab. Like, there's no icon to let you know you can tab that way. There's nothing. It's just, oh, shit, that's a different menu. Where did that come from? A little explanation would go a long way. I get it's a one-man show. That shit's kind of hard to put in there. But, you know, an icon at least blinking to the right or left would be nice. Like, you can buy everything you have touched in the game. And I had no idea. I was just like, well, that's out of... I didn't even know I could cycle them. I was just, like, walking around until I found something else. But there were so few enemies and stuff that it didn't matter. I was doing plenty okay. But yeah, besides just it being kind of easy, which is not a downside. Sometimes, look, give me easy games that I can just blow through and be dumb about, and I'm okay with it. But it, as far as like spending money on it and everything, a tutorial would be helpful. But once you figure out where you're going, what you're doing, and the trick to it is there's a computer in literally every room and it opens a door somewhere. So you're basically playing a roguelite big ass spaceship maze that has a handful of zombies on it. One of the biggest things is figuring out when you've pulled a switch is like, okay, but which fucking door did it open? Because the map is very minimal. That said, if you look at the map and you see there's a green dot, you're like, well, fuck, I haven't opened all the doors. Might as well go that way. And eventually you end up where you're going anyway. Just as long as you hit every computer you come to, eventually you're going to find the exit. In the meantime, you might find some cool shit in between, but most of it you're not even going to need. I had a bubble shield at one point, and then I was like, this is overkill. Because I had 9 million hit points of health. So whatever number I had managed to buy. I think I was at like 1,400 or something like that.
Jesus.
And nothing was hurting me. I was fine. My biggest downfall was that the NPCs would get stuck. And then I'd be like, but where'd my people go? I can't afford to keep up. I don't have the brain power to keep up with these extra dudes.
Oh, Lord.
You know. It was a struggle, but it's fine. But yeah, go ahead.
As it stands for $10, what do you think?
Is it $10?
Yep.
I'm okay with it. I think there's enough content to justify $10. I think a little more polish would go a long way though. Especially as far as like a tutorial and stuff. And it doesn't even have to be anything like super in depth. It could just be like, hey, yeah, dumbass, push this way to buy guns. I don't even remember what the button combination was now. It was something entirely on the D-pad. And I never would have found that shit on my own if I hadn't like hit it on accident while doing something else. I was trying to buy more health is what I was doing. And then I found the guns.
Well, you know how you could buy more health? With all the biddies that No Time for Games is dropping, 45 individual biddies all dropping into the cup.
Drop it, bitch!
Thank you, Norg. Thank you.
Wet pancakes!
Well done. Anyway, yeah.
I love those sound clips.
I think I can roll with a pretty recommended try it. I think $10 might be a little on the high side. But if you're okay knowing that it's a mobile port and that yeah, you're supporting a one man show and saying I'm okay with the issues. Like I said, I wish it was a twin stick rather than just auto aiming. It's a little cheap. Probably also why I did I think I got an achievement for dying, but I had to go back and do it after I finished the game. I was like, well, shit.
Oh, my Lord. Anyway, next game to talk about is called 3000th Duel, developed and published by Neo Popcorn. It released February 19th on the Switch for $14.99. A hero with no memory and a mysterious mask covering his face is thrown out into the land of the unknown. Reaching to an end of his journey, he discovers a truth that is hard to swallow, something terrifying about his true identity. Cole, tell us about 3000th Duel.
I didn't play this game.
See, I just wanted to see what you would say this time.
Nope, this one ain't mine, bitch. Just harass somebody else.
No time for games dropping more biddies in the cup. All the biddy, the puppy biddies. Oh my God, it is slowing down the cup so bad.
Dropping bits!
Biddies. Thank you, No Time, for all of the biddies. Now we need someone to come and sub to watch them all go all the flying. Out. Yep. Oh, man. Anyway, 3000th duel. Why can't I say that word? 3000th duel. Because I've been
fucking up words all night, and now it's contagious, and it's your turn.
That's a tough one, though. 3000th. 3000th duel.
3000th. Somebody get you a carrot chip. Bitch is going to fail today.
I'll put a bottle cap in my... 3000th duel.
GG's.
Anyway, Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review. This is what she's got to say. She says, hey, SML friends and fans, it's your girl Serlina, and after a brief hiatus, probably because Joe Cam completely forgot I existed, I return with the review for 3000th Duel for the Nintendo Switch developed by Neo Popcorn Core. I didn't forget you existed. It's just we didn't have a lot for a couple of weeks there. I mean, we had an hour long episode.
Lies.
We had an hour long episode.
True.
We there was, you know, we had some time to kill recently. But back on the job, 3000th Duel is a Metroidvania romp where you play as a mysterious masked and memoryless warrior who must traverse the world to find out who you are and what your purpose is and all the stuff that comes with losing your memory. The beginning of the game is very minimal, even though I enjoyed the opening cinematic that gives you mere glimpses into who the main character is. Let me just say that while I understand the Insomniac fighter trope and how good it is for delivering exposition, I'm kind of sick of it. I'm not saying that we have to know everything about the MC at the get-go, but can you at least tell me why he has a big-ass sword at the start? At this point, if I know that the MC is an ice Insomniac, then I automatically know that he or she wasn't such a good person in their previous life. It's slightly depressing, but I'm going to end my aside and continue talking about the game. The gameplay in
3000th. Wait a second, wait. I have insomnia.
I have it sometimes too. It sucks.
Were we bad people in our past lives?
Yes.
Are we bad people now?
Yes.
Fuck.
The gameplay in 3000th Duel is incredibly fluid. Swinging your sword or weapon of choice, which you can find later in the game, feels great and not stiff or forced, which is important for me on a Switch game. Also, the way you level up your MC is pretty decent as well. When you defeat characters, you gain karma, another stab at the inevitable evilness of the main character, and you can use that karma to level up 4 stats, which are essentially health, stamina, attack power, and magic power. There's an added bonus to leveling up. You have to remember your core skills by finding them throughout the levels. Once you find a core skill, you can further enhance it by using seal breaker stones, which are gained through leveling primarily. Now, you can only level up or save your game at the stone statues, these hauntingly beautiful guardians that rise from the ground when you approach them, so be aware of that. Combat in the game is pretty standard. Baddies come in a variety and each have a certain attack. Once you get the pattern, they're easily dispatched. Of course, once you relearn and upgrade a specific skill, combat becomes even easier. Also, you earn MP every time you take out a baddie, and once your MP meter is full, you can do what's called a mortal blow. It's a super high damage move that depletes your MP while simultaneously hurting or killing the baddie. Don't worry about saving your mortal blows. Enemies respawn from screen to screen, so go nuts with that ability. You eventually gain access to occult, which is your magic. You want to be careful with your occult usage because you can only replenish that at stones or certain items that you find in the world. The combat, while serviceable, is not the game's strength. It's the artwork by far. The world that you wake up in is amazing. It's vibrant and dark and will make you want to explore every nook and cranny you can. The level design is out of this world, and I don't want to get into the boss bosses. Their design is meticulous and memorable. I didn't want to beat them. I just wanted to marvel at them. Hell, the MC's design is amazing. The detail in everything is simply gorgeous. The music in the game is also a big plus. It's helpful with somber notes that definitely set the scene and almost tells the story for you. Pay attention to the music changes as it will be beneficial for you in preparing yourself for certain challenges. 3000th Duel is available now on the Switch for $14.99, and should you buy it, I won't lie, this is tricky because while I think the art and music is stellar, I was disappointed in the story choice. I'll give it a solid try, but if it ever goes on sale for 10 or less, go ahead and pick it up. Ultimately, the game was fun and undoubtedly gorgeous, but I can't shake the feeling that I've seen this story one too many times. All right, sounds good. Sounds enjoyable. All right. Next game to talk about is called Lost Artifacts, developed by Game On Production, published by 8 Floor, released February 19th on Xbox One for $9.99. They also invite you to check out their free-to-play board game business tour available on Steam right now. For a long time, Claire worked as a historian, an archaeologist, and a prominent university. When she chose her course in life, she thought that she'd be searching for ancient treasure, but instead ended up spending all of her time reading. Then one day, Claire noticed a peculiar coincidence. Had she really uncovered a treasure map of the ancient Tonawak people? Cole, tell us.
Oh, boy. So, I want to preface this by saying I've played a lot of these 8 Floor games. They're all identical, and that's fine. It's like an Artifacts Monday game. You know what you're going to get, and you're probably going to like it anyway. But Lost Artifacts has some issues. normally, you can pretty much just ignore the plot line for these games and play them anyway. I would say if you're going to play Lost Artifacts, you probably want to very heavily ignore the plot line, because there's a lot of colonialism and questionable language use.
What do you mean?
Claire is an archaeologist, and she goes to this village of these people who the game happily refers to as savages. The whole point is that you have to kind of be, I'm using a lot of controversial language here. It's kind of a white savior complex type of game, in that, you know, the white girl shows up, saves the tribe and defeats the dark priest, and they make her queen of the tribe. It's a lot, is what I'm trying to say. It's a lot, and it's very uncomfortable. Gameplay is identical to every other 8 Floor game. You have 49 levels. Why 49? I'll never fucking know. Why they don't stop at 50? It's beyond me, but there's 49 levels. Your goal is to, you know, it's a strategy game. You want to move your little workers around fast enough to collect resources and build up your stockpile of resources so that you can repair bridges, cover holes in the roads, things of that nature. One of the bigger issues with this one, normally there is a character in 8 Floor games who will come along and take one of your resources and leave with it. You can build a warrior of some variety to stop them, which is handy. Most of the time in an 8 Floor game, this is an orc, a fairy, some kind of troll, some kind of other mythological creature. For whatever fucking reason this time, it's a brown guy in a tribal outfit, and they call them the Little Savage. And there's even an achievement for beating the savage. I'm really sorry, and it's really super bad. I don't think 8 Floor is intentionally trying to be inflammatory, but it's certainly, at the very least, it's tone deaf.
Yeah.
I think it's a cultural issue.
Part of me wonders if, because we've seen other Lost Artifacts games on Xbox from 8 Floor.
Yeah.
I think this is the third one. I wonder if this is just an older game that I don't want to say was made in a different time.
Yeah, I'm not sure of like what the timeline of these games are, because like I said, you don't typically play them for the story, and it's just like, well, you know, sit down, play a strategy game, and have a good time.
Yeah.
But this one is certainly, it's iffy. And I don't want to be promotive of it. I don't want to say it's horribly broken, but it's definitely problematic. So
story aside, it sounds like the gameplay is what you would expect from an 8-floor game. It's just the actual content that.
Yes, and I did have some issues with it. Again, 8-floor games, sometimes they can be a little quirky. Usually in the past, I've had problems with them where, like, you know, just the pathing is a little off and makes. I had one level that was completely unbeatable because of the pathing in one of their past games. This time, I did have a couple of issues where, like, characters would just walk into an area where they were supposed to pick something up or where they were supposed to build a building or something, and they would just kind of, like, keep walking over and over. I looked at one point and realized that I was like, why isn't this this task getting completed? And then I looked down and realized that my shaman was walking into a wall for negative 25 seconds. Shit. So yeah, it's
this doesn't sound like one of the better 8-floor releases.
it is not. And I had these problems with it far more than I normally have with an 8-floor game. I mean, beyond that, it's basically what you would expect, but it did just have some quirks and issues that I am not entirely on board with. I would say if you're super into 8-floor games, buy literally any of their other ones and maybe pass this one over.
That's a bummer to hear, but
yeah, I'm sad about it because, like I said, I've really enjoyed their games, but I've really had a hard time this week choking this one down.
Yeah, just the questionable content.
Yeah, it's hard. I can't sit in good nature and say, oh yeah, absolutely go buy this game, because this is the kind of content that we need to get rid of. There's just no place in this in current polite society, you know?
Yeah, we've gone over the questionable issues with the word savage on the show before.
Yeah.
It's a word I've eliminated from my vocabulary. I'm not sure how you stand on the word, but
yeah. So it's I am okay just passing this game for that. And like I said, their other games are a lot of fun and I enjoy them, and I wanted to enjoy this one. Couldn't choke it down.
So go buy an 8-floor game, just maybe not this one.
Yes.
All right. Final game to talk about tonight is called Knighten Plus, developed by Must Die Studios, published by Rattleika Games. So this is the weekly Rattleika. released February 18th on PS4 and Vita, 19th on Xbox One, 21st on the Switch for $5.99. Join Sir Brave Lootalot on his epic quest in this little adventure. Explore and fight your way through the four dangerous dungeons filled with dangerous traps, devious puzzles, and magical artifacts. Cole, tell us about Knighten Plus.
So you play as a little dude named Sir Lootalot, and the opening cinematic for this game flat out tells you that they know you don't give a fuck about the story. It is just blatant right there. It's all just an excuse to go hack and slash things, so just go on and go hack and slash things.
Yeah, pretty much.
I appreciate the meta sense of humor involved in this game. It was a little refreshing after playing Last Artifacts. So I am on board with, you know, sometimes you just gotta admit, like, we wanted to make a game where you killed monsters in a dungeon, so here you go.
Yeah, not every game needs an epic soaring story. Sometimes you just want to kill shit and have fun.
How many times do we approach this and I'd be like, there was a story fucking where? So these guys just cut out the middleman for me, and I'm so grateful for it. So you play as Sir Lootalot. He looks very Shovel Knight-ish. I've never played Shovel Knight, but his costume definitely looks like the little dude from Shovel Knight. I was like, that might be a copyright violation, but that's not my place. So, you know, you go into the dungeon and you hack and you slash and there are enemies. And then you move on to the next room after you hack and slash all the enemies. You hack and slash more enemies. And then sometimes you might stumble into a room that has a puzzle. And good fucking luck figuring out how to open them puzzles. I keep opening them, but I'm not sure how. It's a little weird. It's kind of just dumb luck, I think, at this point. I'm just hitting the right switches. I spent like 15 minutes on one puzzle, just constantly stepping on all the switches. And then I realized that the puzzle layout was identical to a room I had seen earlier. And I tried that, and it worked. And I was like, well, I'm good with that. Got my chest. Got my achievement for not missing any chests. Get the fuck out of here. I was perfectly fine. I didn't need any explanation. I didn't even need to realize that I figured it out. I just did and went on. There were definitely a few where I was like, I don't know how I figured that out, but I'm okay with it. Oddly enough, one of the levels has puzzles that remind me of Super Boxland. And I was like, I had to check. I don't think it was the same developer. I forgot to look, though. But Milo's Quest and Super Box Land both had these puzzles where you had a box and you had to put the box over a switch. And in Knight and Plus, there's a box and you got to put the box over a light switch. And I was like, I've played this before.
No, it looks like Knight and Plus is their first game that we have on Xbox from Must Die Studios.
Yeah, maybe they have played Super Box Land. Maybe they are fans.
Maybe.
Definitely the same. Maybe Radaleka just rolled up and was like, you know what everybody liked? Super Box Land. So put that kind of puzzle in there. We don't know. Anything could have happened, but there are similar puzzles. So if you like those, you're probably going to be pretty content. Say Sir Riot a lot again. Why? I didn't say Riot in the first time, Root Beer. I said Loot. Sir Loot a lot.
Sir Loot a lot.
Jeez. Root Beer over here, not paying attention. It's right there. Sir Loot a lot. He's a sir, and he loots, and he does it a lot. It's pretty simple. It's not a roguelike, because if you die, then there's checkpoints all over the damn place, and you get to come back. Yeah. And I was kind of grateful for that, because hit detection is not always that great. And you will probably die quite a bit, which is fine. It's an inexpensive, you know, easy peasy roll in, hit things, get out kind of game. So I didn't think that there was any need to like crank up the difficulty on it. I tend to look at Radaleka games like this as palate cleansers.
Mm-hmm.
Like I play a fuck ton of Call of Duty. I play a fuck ton of Rocket League. Then I need something where I can just go like hit shit. And here we are. Or sometimes you just need to jump shit. And Radaleka is there like, hey, you got $5? You can come jump on our shit. Come hit our shit. And I'm like, okay, I'm down for that. Get me some achievements and you can have my $5. And here we go.
Yeah, because this is another easy 1,000. You only have to get partially through the third of the four dungeons to get your 1,000.
Yeah. I would say go on and go through all four of them, though. It is fun.
It is.
I mean, it like I said, it does get a little difficult, especially when shit starts like popping off and shooting at you. You have a little shield. It's all lovely. I never remember to use it, but as you progress through the dungeons, you pick up extra. You hear that?
Yeah. What was it?
The rabbit. God damn him. I'm gonna start putting you in the room with David. loud ass. But, you know, it's just an easy to pick up, easy to play kind of game. And I think it's pretty solid. I appreciate that you have to do more than the first level to get all
yeah.
this. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you still tap out at 3, but 3 out of 4, but that's an improvement for Radaleka. And I'm okay with that.
I'm happy with it. I thought it was a really fun game. Reminiscent of old school Zelda games, or what was it? The Story Goes On.
Yeah.
Is that the one game we covered like a year or two ago? I fucking loved that game.
Yeah, I wish they would make some more.
Yeah, I love that game. And this reminded me a lot of that one, so I really enjoyed it. For $6, what do you think?
I think I'm good with giving it a buy it. I think it's probably one of the more solid Rattalakas we've had in a while.
I agree. I really enjoyed it. I got my 1,000 on it. I had fun with it. And it was, this is one I actually bought because I didn't know if we were getting codes in. We got codes for next week's game before we got codes for this week's game. So I just bought it. And
no, there is no Rattalaka game next week.
Yeah, there is.
We're embargoed.
Joe, we can't talk about the game. We could talk about it existing.
No, my rule is if there's an embargo, that shit don't even exist. that's how I stay safe.
Okay, well, there's a mystery game next week then.
But it's not from Rattalaka. Maybe.
We'll see. One last thing to take care of tonight. Earlier this week on Twitter, we asked you to send us an email to tell us why you want the game Outbreak Epidemic that we covered, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, has it been that long already? Shit.
Yeah. We got two people.
The developer asked for us to go back over some of his old games because he did an update, and I just haven't had a chance to do that yet.
So we'll have to get that in there. But we had two people email us and tell us why they wanted the game. So let's go to the emails. First one is Dark Mika, who says, why I want it? Well, there's a few reasons. One, it's a horror game, and I love them like Cole does. Though, unlike her, I don't fear pee because I'm not a pussy, which is odd, seeing as you are what you eat, but whatever.
I don't fear pee because I'm a pussy. I fear pee because I've had 3 kids. And I don't have any control. It's like I'm one sneeze away from disaster all the time.
Sneeze away from disaster. Jesus.
7 pregnancies is hard on your bladder, is all I'm saying.
Oh my God. Number 2, it's an RPG. Bitches love RPGs. It's not that much of an RPG.
No, it is not. I don't know where she got that from.
I don't know either.
Aki doesn't pay attention to shit we say.
Not at all. Number 3, it doesn't seem to be a shitty versus mode. It seems to be co-op, which is all sorts of fuck yeah. That's the kind of multiplayer I enjoy.
Was there co-op? I always play these alone.
I don't know. Like,
what game are you talking about, Augie? Don't give it to her. She doesn't know what game.
Did she enter the right contest?
I don't think she did.
Number 4, I don't have to even play it with anyone either, so I can continue to be my asocial self. Number 5, there's an experiments mode, so if I get it, I can make jokes about people experimenting with me when I make them play it.
No. No, she's definitely read the wrong Outbreak.
Probably. Number 6, I always want more games to play because unlike most of our listeners, I have no life outside of playing video games. No work, no partner, and thank fuck no kids. Play games all day, every day, so a new one just staves off boredom for that little bit longer, leaving me in a blissful state. And honestly, isn't that the best reason to make sure I always have games to play so I'm not bitchy? That works.
Bitchy anyway. It's fine.
That works. Yeah, she'll get a code.
I don't even know what we're entering for on Twitch, but I entered anyway.
Night and Plus.
Oh, find something I don't have.
Is that even possible?
No.
There you go.
I don't have Sims DLC.
Yeah. Well, I don't have codes for that. Other emails from John Prudla, who says, Dear SML Podcast, with the danger of the latest severe corona outbreak virus, I wanted to share some fun facts that may have you punching the guy next to you when he coughs in your face. So get out your Clorox wipes, masks, and enjoy this, you germaphobes. A coronavirus is a common virus that causes an infection in your nose, sinuses, or upper throat. Most coronaviruses aren't dangerous, but in early 2020, after a 2019 outbreak in China, the World Health Organization identified a new type, 2019 novel coronavirus, which can be fatal. The organization named the disease it causes COVID-19. The outbreak quickly moved from China around the world. It spreads the same way other coronaviruses do, through person-to-person contact. Symptoms can show up anywhere from 2 to 14 days after exposure. Early on, they're a lot like the common cold. You might notice fever, cough, or shortness of breath. Infections range from mild to serious. The virus can turn deadly if it leads to pneumonia, respiratory failure, or septic shock. Those most at risk of death are the elderly and people with weakened immune systems. So, Cole, you are fucked.
Yep, I am. You want to know something funny? Is that you said that the name for coronavirus was COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And the first thing I thought of was Corvid, which is the family name for crows. Corvidae.
Huh.
Yeah. Crows are corvids.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Coronaviruses were first identified in the 1960s, but we don't know where they come from. They get their name from their crown-like shape sometimes, but not often. A coronavirus can infect both animals and humans. Most coronaviruses spread the same way other cold-causing viruses do, through infected people coughing and sneezing, by touching an infected person's hand or face, or by touching things such as doorknobs that infected people have touched. Almost everyone gets coronavirus infection at least once in their life, mostly likely as a younger child. In the U.S., coronaviruses are more common in the fall and winter, but anyone can come down with a coronavirus infection at any time. Past severe coronavirus outbreaks include the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. About 858 people died from MERS, which first appeared in Saudi Arabia and then other countries in the Middle East, Africa, Asia, and Europe. In April 2014, the first American was hospitalized for MERS in Indiana, and another case was reported in Florida. Both had just returned from Saudi Arabia. In May 2015, there was a severe acute respiratory syndrome. There was an outbreak of MERS in Korea, which is the largest outbreak in the Arabian Peninsula. And then another one was SARS, the severe acute respiratory syndrome. In 2003, 774 people died from the outbreak. And as of 2015, there were no future reports of cases of SARS. Oh my God, this is a long email.
Who sent this?
John Prudlow.
Oh.
God damn it. The symptoms of most coronaviruses are similar to any other respiratory infection, including runny nose, coughing, sore throat, and sometimes a fever. In most cases, you won't know whether you have a coronavirus or a different cold-causing virus, such as a rhinovirus. You could get lab tests, including nose and throat cultures and blood work, to find out whether your cold was caused by a coronavirus, but there's no reason to. The test results wouldn't change how you treat your symptoms, which typically go away in a few days. But if a coronavirus infection spreads to the lower respiratory tract, your windpipe, and your lungs, it can cause pneumonia, especially in older people, people with heart disease, or people with weakened immune systems. I would also like to note that you cannot get the coronavirus from wet pancakes unless someone with the virus has intentionally coughed in your wet pancakes.
But you can get it from a bottle of Corona beer.
Yes. Speaking of outbreaks,
we may have to issue a retraction next week.
Speaking of outbreaks and epidemics, I thoroughly enjoyed the addictive gameplay of Outbreak: The Nightmare Chronicles. How's that for a segue? Eventually, my saved games trapped me in points in the game where I did not have enough resources to survive any attack, and I had to start over. However, it was better to enjoy the part of the game over and over versus letting it frustrate me. The physics and camera in these games could be a little more polished, but it helps add to the challenge. I have not played Lost Hope yet, but I want to experience the latest Outbreak survival game just released. Thanks for the opportunity to win a copy, John. Who is getting a copy of the game?
Nice.
Easy. Oh, man. All right. Well, that is it for this episode. Thanks again to Jacob for being here and fucking his nose whine the whole time. He has a whistly nose.
Yes.
Might have to get some nasal surgery there. I don't know. I have one, too, but at least my microphone doesn't pick it up that bad. I don't think it does, at least.
I had to have surgery on my nostrils when I was a kid.
For what?
They cauterized them because they bleed like a motherfucker.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I still get nosebleeds really easily, but not like I remember one time being in 6th or 7th grade, and I was looking down at my paper doing homework. You know, like in horror movies when there's a dead body on the ceiling and blood just randomly drops down onto your paper or table or whatever's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that, only it was my nose.
Nice.
It would just start at random and doop, and blood all over my homework. My teachers would get so mad.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, that is it for this episode. Cole, do you have any final words to end it?
Don't get coronavirus.
Yeah, it's a good one.